If you've ever been to a desert, I assume many people have at some point, it's a place where there's not a lot to stimulate the senses. You're sort of suppressed in that way. And I've gone to the desert each summer because my uncle is a priest out in New Mexico, and he lives in a little sort of highland area, but if you just drive about 10 miles away, you're in the middle of the Navajo Indian Reservation, which is all desert. And maybe living in the desert is why when we went to the rainforest on vacation, he was so bad at zip lining. I don't know. But either way, it is a place that's unlike any other in the world. And the church gives us this desert experience, this time to be with Christ and to be with him in a situation where we begin to divest ourselves of the things that distract us from the Lord. But we have to understand that the devil does not look at us and say, oh, look, he or she is trying to have a good Lent. I'm going to leave him alone for the next 40 days. It's not the way it works. In fact, it's the time when he attacks us more steadily, more heavily, because he knows not only are we going to be more tempted as we try to give up things that we usually go to for comfort that are not God, and he wants to distract us from that. But also it's a time when we can grow closer in our relationship with the Lord. And that's what he hates the most. Because ultimately the purpose for everything, the purpose of the church, is to help us to grow in relationship with our Lord. So we look at the temptations and we see that each one sort of surmises a category of temptation. The first one is that temptation to bodily ease, bodily pleasure. Now, one of the great understatements of literature in general, and certainly in the Bible, is that Jesus fasted for 40 days and 40 nights, and afterwards he was hungry. It's sort of like saying, Bob went to the DMV and waited for 4 hours, only to be told that he had the wrong form of identification, and he was irritated. You know, it's sort of that comic understatement. Well, Jesus was certainly very hungry. So the devil comes to him, as he always does. He'll wait until we're hungry, or tired, or lonely, or anxious, or feel we deserve some sort of consolation. And rather than go to God, who can give us true rest, we often go to those lower temptations. And that's what the devil does. And not only does he go to Jesus and tempt him to turn the rocks into bread, but he does it using Scripture, an actual quote from Scripture, which tells us that unless we have that magisterium of the church which steers us to Scripture and the true meaning, we can quote Scripture to justify anything. You can always pull any line out of context, and that will allow us to justify any number of sins. But Jesus knows better than that, obviously. He's God, so he has the perfect response, which is a response, again, from Scripture. And also, Jesus understands that miracles are not self-serving. If you ever look at Jesus' life, he never had a self-serving miracle. It was always a miracle that was done to deepen others' faiths, or in response to their faith in him, to help them to grow closer to God. All of the miracles were for others. So this temptation to turn rocks into bread wasn't really a temptation for Christ. He knew that he was going to overcome it. He's God. But for us, so often we do that. We take something that is good in itself and we use it for purposes that don't bring us any lasting happiness. Whether it's overindulging in food or drink or misusing sexuality in any number of ways. These are all ways that we take something that's good and we use it in a way that is negative. And we know that as soon as we do it, we don't feel any better about ourselves. It doesn't bring us lasting peace. We come up with every reason why we deserve this, whether it's, being stressed at work or with family, or we've had a really bad week. And instead of going to something that's going to actually give us rest, we turn to this. But Christ overcame it and shows us how to. He then goes to some of the more subtle and more difficult temptations. The temptations to the spectacular, the temptation to the eyes, to how we look. Because Satan brings Jesus up onto a high parapet where there would be people all over the place. And what a spectacular show to jump off, land 100 feet below, and get up and walk away. Of course, the idea is, wouldn't that show that he's God? Wouldn't that put to rest any doubts? It wouldn't, because Jesus did all types of spectacular things, and people either chose to believe or didn't. But the devil wanted him to give into that pride. Well, of course, Jesus doesn't again. But we often do, being weak, being human, because we care about how we look to others. The car that we drive, the house that we have, or we envy those who have the car or the house or the vacations that we want, or even the family. We'll look at another family and think, they have it all together. Now, I can tell you, sitting in the confessional, many of the families that you think have it all together, you don't know what's going on in their lives, and vice versa. You see a family that maybe doesn't seem to have it together, and you realize that they're actually very close to God. So it's folly to try to look at a person's car or their house or their family or their vacations and think, that's what I want. It's also folly to put our best foot forward all the time to others. Putting up, the thing that always surprises me is when people put their car up as their profile picture on Facebook. It's called Facebook. I don't know what that says about a person when their face is their car. So we have this situation where we have a need to show others how well we're doing, how easily life is going for us. And that's that temptation that we so easily fall into, but Christ again shows us how to resist it. And finally, that temptation to pride, telling him, here are all the kingdoms of the world and they can be yours. All you have to do is bow down and worship me. Now, of course, we know that God is not going to bow down and worship any of his creatures, least of all, Satan himself. And we would say, I would never bow down and worship Satan. And maybe we wouldn't if he was standing in front of us, but he gets us to do it in so many other ways. Whenever we put something else before God, whether it's sports that keep us from coming to Mass, distractions on the computer or on our phone or in our work life that keep us from our prayers. Whenever we decide to turn in on ourselves instead of spending time with our family and friends and living out our vocation. These are all subtle ways that we turn away from God. And anytime we turn away from God, we're turning towards evil. And so there's any number of ways that we do actually bow to Satan. And when we think of sin that way, and putting other things before God in those terms, it's a little more stark. And it should really drive us to avoid it. And that's what Lent's all about. That's why the church gives us this gospel at the beginning, so that we can look at it and say, what are the ways that I'm bowing to Satan? What are the ways that I turn away from God? We each have something that we can think of in our hearts that we know that we put before God. And just replace whatever that is, whether it's sports or work or bad friendships or material possessions, whatever it is, instead of thinking of it as what it is, look one level deeper and see the face of Satan there, because that's what it is. He never reveals himself in an obvious way, but he'll put a very nice coating around what he's trying to make us bow to, but he's the one right behind it. So when we think about all of these temptations, and the lesson that Christ gives us on how to turn away from them, we really have to identify what it is in our lives. Once we identify it, then we can really turn to Christ, because this time of Lent is a time when we should be right there with Him. We don't have the strength to resist all of our temptations, but we do have the strength through Christ to do that. When we are chased by the devil, we have to run to Him, not to other things. And if we run to Him, then He can carry us through this 40 days, and we can come to have that reliance upon Him that's going to help us to resist any temptation in the future. And when we fall, we also know that, unlike Satan, Christ is all-merciful. He's always willing to give us a fresh start. So in this time of Lent, let's cling to Christ. And when we don't cling to Christ, run back to Him and ask for forgiveness. And if we do that, then we'll be walking out of the desert in 40 days. But we'll be doing it with a closer relationship with our Lord, who shows us how to resist everything that would drag us down.